Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. My name is Tori Homan. I am one of your hosts, and I'm really excited to be back with my co-host, Rhiannon Huff. It's so good to have you back on the show, Rhi, and I am really looking forward to this topic as we head into trade show season this year.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, too. We made it through busy season. So, yes, now we are going into trade show season. So this is a fun topic for me because it's just we're right in the thick of things. We're right in the middle of it. So today we're going to be talking about pre-show, during the trade show, and post-show, and all the tips, tricks, and everything that we have along the way.
So before we dive into this first topic, don't forget, y'all, to like, share, and subscribe to our channel or find the audio version of this episode wherever you get your podcasts. Now, with trade show preparation, right, first we're going to talk about what happens before you get to the show, everything you should be doing leading up to it. And the devil is honestly really in the details with this. This involves everything from making sure that you pick the right carpet to making sure that your team is all on the same page about like what clients you want to touch base with while you're at the show and all of the details that exist in between and around those types of things. So Rhi, let's just kind of walk through what timeline prep for a show should look like. How far in advance should people start preparing?
Oh, shoot, Tori, I think that we've been preparing for this for months already. So it's funny that it's right around the corner now. Our first trade show is in March. And I think that one of the best things to do ahead of time is when you're talking to is have that set trade show team in place, because basically what we've been doing for months is each one of our team members has specific tasks or guidelines that they have that they run through. So we've all had those for months, including talking to trade show staff, signing up for the actual booth, making sure that we have our booth set up, making sure that we have swag, making sure that we have a client meeting set up ahead of time. So those are all what we've discussed for months along the way. I'd say for me personally, in the about 2 months leading up to the show is when I'm talking to my clients that I know are going to be at the show or potential clients that I know are going to be at the show. And that's when I'm setting up dinners, meet and greets with them, anything that we need to touch base on, sending those invites out and getting that time or place, because believe it or not, they're busy. Those clients are really busy at the shows. Yeah. They have everybody swarming them. So those spots get filled up very, very quickly for them. So I always make sure also at a trade show, depending on where it's located, there are restaurants within the actual facility, but a lot of times you go offsite for that. So right. Kind of discussing that ahead of time too, at least again, a couple months ahead of time to make sure that you all know and you're all comfortable with whether you want it on-site, off-site. Always ask for any dietary needs, of course, in advance.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think, you know, what you're getting at is really important, which is that it always seems like you have so much time to get all this stuff done. And then all of a sudden you're like 3 weeks out and holy crap, what happened? Where did the time go? I'm not ready. So, right, for this first trade show that we're attending in March, I mean, we started prepping October, November. Yeah. We were first started having conversations about it. And you know, we have some stuff that rolls over from year to year that makes it easier once you've got maybe some of that swag stocked. Hopefully you already have like a trade show booth design that you just store and then ship or take with you, right? But you're right, you really do need to start so far in advance. And even something as simple as like deciding who's going and whose job it is to do what, right? So for us, like this week, we're actually meeting, we have a new setup for the trade show. And so we're all getting together to go over how do we put this thing together? stuff like that. So even things like booking hotels and flights, which is self-explanatory, but also like
it's one more line item on that checklist. Exactly. That very, very long checklist that we talk about. Yes.
Exactly. And you know, one thing that we've talked about specifically with booking hotels is, you know, sometimes the timelines change and things, And so better to just book an extra night than to go to try to extend your stay and then for there not to be any availability. So it's way easier to cancel than it is to try to get extra time. And so for us, you know, we're really involved in the trade organizations. And so we have extra activities and responsibilities that require us to be there earlier, but it is just helpful anyway, because it gives us a little more like breathing room and space to just relax and kind of center ourselves more or less before the actual like trade show part of it, the actual exhibiting part of it starts.
But the other thing is trade shows are busy from start to finish. It is a whirlwind. So if you have not been to a trade show or experienced that, I think that's a great point, Tori, that you bring up, is just kind of grounding yourself and getting ready so that when I suggest at least going in a day early, if at all possible, if that's acceptable with your company, because it gives you that time to kind of gather yourself, make sure you have everything. Because if you're going, it already is a stressful week, not because it's just overly stressful, but because it's so busy. I mean, from morning till night, you go to bed, it is crazy. So the other thing that one of our team members does that comes with us is she sets up a schedule for us. So she sends that. We have the trade show schedule, obviously, that they send out to us. But what our team member does is she sends out an individual schedule for everybody in our group. And that shows just an outline of which member is responsible for which event or topic or whatever we're doing along the way. And that's so helpful, because you just see it right there and say, okay, Rhiannon and Tori are going to this, Anna and Jonathan are doing this, here's who's responsible for what. It just kind of gives you that timeline ahead of time to get yourself regrouped, know what you need to do. And it just takes that stress level down a little bit. So I would highly suggest that. And she gets to us about a week ahead of time, I would say.
Yeah. And starts working on it, honestly, long before that. But as things change, you know, she has to adjust what that schedule looks like. And even honestly, because these trade shows are often so huge, even just giving yourself time to get the lay of the land, especially if the show is happening not all in one space. Like sometimes you'll be in some sort of like resort center where your hotel is in the same place or is like interiorly connected to wherever the exhibit hall is. That's not always the case. And so sometimes like you might have to walk a little bit from your hotel. So just getting the lay of the land so that, you know, next morning when you have to get your butt out of bed super early so that you can be on the trade show floor, that you're not like scrambling around trying to find your way, right?
Again, not causing yourself that unnecessary stress. Exactly. You got to know, personally, I got to scope out the coffee. You know, where do I get my coffee in the morning?
Yes, that is it. Like, where is the closest Starbucks? Or it doesn't have anything, any half decent coffee.
What you need in the morning to get you going and make sure that you're all set to have your, you know, ready and raring to go first thing in the morning. Because once that show kicks off, you're flying.
There's no time.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And I know you mentioned beforehand, Tori, what is the pro tip that you said to make sure that you order ahead of time that you learned that carpet?
specifically with the thicker padding.
Yes.
Okay. People, look, if there's one thing that you take away from today's episode, it is to order the padding for your booth. And I you know, the cost of it depends show to show, but like that is $100 or whatever, $200 well spent. Okay. Yes. You're on your feet all day. And then, you know, for some companies, like their approach to exhibit time is that you should be on your feet all day, right?
Absolutely.
And that's totally fine. But probably the shoes that you're wearing may not be like, you know, your Hokas or like your Brooks, your most comfortable shoes. For me, I love heels. And so I will usually wear them like in the morning and then shift to a flat shoe for the afternoon. But having that extra thick padding on the floor in your booth just really makes the whole experience slightly less painful, honestly. So pro tips.
One of those things. Don't skimp on it. And obviously there's so many different things that I don't even think about before I was doing trade shows. There's so many different decisions that you have to make prior to the show. Carpet. Like, why would I ever think that carpet was even a thing that I decided on? Or what type of table are you going to have in your booth? In past, we've had couches and chairs. So really deciding what you want that booth area to look like way ahead of time, so that when it comes to, you know, the trade show saying, yep, it's time to order, you know what you're doing, and it's, you are already taking that care, taking care of that. So, you know, we've went with high tables, low tables, bar stools. We've went with no chairs, comfy chairs. There's so many different ranges. So just talking to your team and figuring out what's going to work best for your aesthetic in your booth and what's going to work best for what you're looking for to get out of the show.
Exactly. And to give you all an example, right, this year at our trade shows, what we're going to be doing is a high top table and then bar stools to match that. Just because sometimes, like, you may not want to be standing there for 5 hours, and I think that's okay. But the bar stools give you a little bit of a break, but still keep your body on eye level with the people around you. And it gives you, it just feels a little bit more conversational and a little less formal for our purposes than like the 6 foot table does. So that just works really well for us. Gives us a space to put some swag out but creates that conversational type of space rather than that table being a barrier. So there is, you know, like Rhiannon, like you're saying, a ton of different ways to go about it. That just works really, really well for us and our kind of style as a group.
Absolutely. And it, to me, it makes it very comfortable. It makes it to where it's not awkward at all. It's just normal to kind of stand around that table and have conversations. So again, things that I didn't think about prior to, but now we're thinking to about way in advance. The other thing that we're thinking about, and I know Tori already mentioned, but who is going to that trade show? Mm-hmm. So this is something that years ago we decided as a team to have basically that solid group that was always going to be at the trade shows. And it's basically that face that's, you know, recognized, is that team that's recognized as that's North American Signs. They're here every year. And to me, it really does make a difference, because in these trade shows, it is not necessarily going to happen for you 1 year. You know, if you go there and you don't get this absolutely fantastic result, don't necessarily give up, because I do believe it takes time to really get to know the show, get to know the people, again, making those connections in within your team. And also, when you have that solid team, again, they know what their responsibilities are throughout the show. And, you know, if on my team, we have marketing, the marketing department. So, you know, responsible for taking pictures, making sure that we have content for when we get home. Sometimes we're not all four in the trade show booth at one time. So we know who needs to be in the trade show booth, who's going to quick exchange, things along those lines as well. So, you know, those plans ahead of time. Again, that's one more step that you don't have to think about or worry about, but having that consistent team definitely is something that we found very beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, this might go without saying, but you really need to have the people with the right skills, but also the people with the right personality attending, you know, attending a trade show. For us, like, you know, you and I are both really outgoing. Like, I'll talk to anybody about whatever. I don't care. And so just that kind of an attitude can be really helpful in that setting of just like making connections with people in really just person to person types of ways. It doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, a business relationship initially. You have to have the right people that crosses personality and skill set.
And for us, it's not, you know, people look at trade shows as it's always the salespeople, if you want to, you know, say. And then for us, that's not necessarily the case. And again, it's, for me, it's more the consistency and it's getting to know those people and those clients and the vendors. It's the consistency of that and making those connections. It doesn't necessarily have to be the salespeople that go. So sometimes even looking at your team and diversifying that a little bit can actually help. We bring teams or we bring some team members from different departments, and that helps. So think about that as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to kind of cover a couple of other like little tips or things that we've found to be really useful in preparation, right? We mentioned ordering that branded swag. For us, we are working with a local chocolate company to provide popcorn at the show. So if any listeners are going to RIFMA or Connects, you can come hit us up for some of that, some of that delicious popcorn. But, you know, if there are opportunities like that, right, where you can support a local business and provide something at a trade show that's really unique, delicious, and it's just going to get people to come talk to you, that's a really, really great thing. Like, right, you, the standard things are great. The pens, the koozies, whatever, those things work. We've also found that lip balm for whatever reason is great.
We have people come every year just to get the lip balm or the mints.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the mints. So you never know, but you just got to test some different things out and see what works for your brand and for your people. But again, thinking about, can we connect with local businesses to promote, them and to help ourselves as well.
And bring and potential then, clients things that they're not going to see. You can't have it because it's just by us. So it is kind of neat. But, you know, there's always that game of you have everybody looking for the newest, latest, and greatest gadget that they want to bring as a swag. And then you have, like Tori said, the, you know, the stuff like pens and mints that are never going to go out of style, the classics. Right. Everybody wants those. And then you have the very unique. And you will see there are definitely companies that they go – they're definitely brainstorming – months and months and months in advance because they do something unique. We've seen popcorn machines. We've seen smoothie machines. We've seen impersonators. We've seen so all different types of fun stuff that you can do to, we've seen puppies. I mean, there are puppies at these shows.
Which I have to say, like, brilliant.
Again, brilliant. Think outside the box. Right. Think outside the box, something that is gonna be an attraction to your booth. Sometimes, and it's just fun. You know, one thing that we do, and again, this is something that we can talk about in the next topic a little bit, but one thing that we do is, we try to coordinate, our outfits. It doesn't, you know, a lot of companies that go with logo inspired, you know, outfits where they have the logo, we've seen shoes, all sorts of fun Converse shoes, you know, jackets, everything. We usually at least coordinate our colors. So one or two colors that everybody, male or female, in the booth are wearing. And we've actually gotten a lot of compliments on it. Something that we did one time and didn't think anything of it. Just something else to think about. And I know this is kind of controversial because we're in the technology era of like, we don't use these anymore or whatever, but I still use them and I still love ours, business cards. Now, again, you've seen lots of different companies do way different things. Ours are pretty thick and they have our photos on them. And that's one thing is you are meeting so many people ahead of time. So, or while you're there. So having that photo, people forget faces or names all the time, but it's hard to forget a face and it's hard to throw away somebody's face. At least I like to think it's a little bit harder.
No, I think it really is.
So again, all those little details, like you said in the very beginning of this, it's the devil is in the details. Like it's those little things that sometimes you don't necessarily think about, but for us has made a big difference along the way. We get compliments on it every single show. So it's going to be trial and error for you sometimes as you go through these shows of what works, what doesn't work, and changing things up. And that's what we're talking about 6 months, you know, 7 months in advance of what worked, what do we want to change up, and what do we want to try?
Yep, exactly. And even keeping things in mind, like how are you coordinating with your marketing team to make sure that you're promoting your attendance at the show? For us, it starts usually about 2 months prior, and often the trade show, well, I don't want to say often, sometimes the trade show organization is going to send you things that you should be posting on your social media pages. So you can keep an eye out for that from them, but just being mindful about promoting it on your company's page, but then also the people that are attending the show, making sure that those folks are really promoting that on their personal LinkedIn pages, obviously, particularly. Just so that, you know, your network isn't just the people that follow you on LinkedIn that follow your company, but also the entire network of people that your team is connected with.
And I think last but not least, I think one thing we had on to talk about is just check, double check, and recheck. And again, check again.
Yeah, like, and probably once more after that.
You know, hotel reservations. I have to say this has happened to me where I have gotten to a show and I do not have a hotel, or we've gotten to the wrong hotel. Yep. And thank goodness things have worked out. But again, these shows, the hotels and things like that, they are so booked, and they are booked for right. months in advance. Yep. So making sure all that stuff that you have, we are actually shipping our booth and shipping our swag this year, but in years past, we've just checked it with us and taken it with us. So again, you don't want to get there and forget some of your vital things that you really need. I have forgotten business cards in the past where we've had to go yep. and scramble at the, you know, UPS store while we're there and get stuff made. So check, double check. When you think you've checked enough, check again is right. my final advice prior to the show.
Right. Especially if it's, you know, if this is your first time and, you can always go back and look at the different resources that these trade organizations provide. Usually they'll have some sort of master checklist or a webpage or something where you can sort of see, here are all the things that I need to accomplish. Or even, I was just talking before we were recording about, you know, setting up a meeting with someone who works at the trade show to just be like, can we just run through everything? Like, what are the things that I need to accomplish to make sure that we're really set up for success for this trade show? So there are tons of resources through the organization. And, you know, even if you have experienced team members in your company, just making sure that all those pieces are working together, that you're double checking, triple checking absolutely everything, because the less stress that you have, the better you're going to be able to focus on your clients and just on making sure that the networking and connecting that you're doing is really high quality.
So, second topic here, of course, is while you're at the show, and you want to make the best of the show. It, you know, while you're there, it kind of seems like it's a long time, but it goes by so fast. And you hear all the time that networking is so important, and it doesn't fall short at trade shows. It is one of the most important things that you can do. And advice that I would give is not only network with potential clients or people that you're looking for to potentially do business with, especially if you're newer to that trade show or that organization or that industry, really take advantage of those that have been at shows prior to, vendors that are around you in your booth. Talk to them, ask them for tips. If there's any way that you can connect with somebody that's been that show for a long time, ask them if they can mentor you. It's yes. huge, because there's so much knowledge in those organizations, in those companies that have been there for years and years and years and years. And it can be a little overwhelming. But also, as you go to shows time and time again, you'll find those friends, those vendors that are going to be there. And don't look at everybody as the competition, because yes, there's a lot of other for us sign companies there, but at the same time, some of the people that we hang out with are other sign companies. But yep. also, it's, you build that vendor partnership almost, to where I know a lot of companies that are in my trade show that are reliable, that are great companies. And sometimes my clients ask me, hey, I know you guys don't do this, but do you have anybody that could recommend that? And you have that vendor partnership of recommending each other back and forth. And it's just so valuable. So that's why I say, get to know the people that are attending the shows, not just the clients. Of course, there's going to be the clients there. And ahead of time, we've already discussed that you kind of want to make a list of who your potential clients or who you want to reach out to. So definitely make those appointments as if you can, but throughout the show, make sure that you're attending as much as you possibly can. If you're attending the different events, you know, don't just go stand at the trade show. I think, Tori, you have some more, a little bit more on that, but don't just go stand at the booth. That's not necessarily where your networking is going to be. That's not necessarily where the most connections happen. For me, it is making connections, not necessarily of we're going to make a sale. This is a connection to me about who I am, potentially, you know, obviously what my company does. Everybody's there for a reason. And obviously we want to come away with business, but sometimes that business doesn't happen right there at that trade show. It happens later on, or maybe even years in advance of people know who you are. You're making that initial connection. They may not need somebody right now, but it might be years down the road that they remember you. They remember you from that trade show. They remember your face from continually reaching out to them in regards to how you doing. And just keep it real. is my advice in that networking. Just keep it real, not sales pitchy. You know, we all hear all of these, you know, specific sales techniques and everything along those lines. But for me, it's just real. It's that real conversation. What I've learned is that whatever industry you're in, you think it's this so like huge, huge company or huge, huge, you know, amount of people, but really it's kind of what we realize is that we're all in, for my industry specifically, the facilities industry, it's all like a small little family. I mean, we're all dealing with the same problems. We're all dealing with the same issues. We're all dealing with, you know, stuff that we can talk about every single day. And just that connection there of being able to understand, you know, your peers, it's just great. It's a good time. It's a lot, but those are my recommendations for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you bring up a really important point, which is just that this mentality that you're going to make a sale or that the most important connections that you make will happen on the exhibit floor. That's just not the way that it is. And you know, I'm not that old, so it's possible that there was precedent for that a while ago, but you know, people can sniff out, inauthenticness.
Yeah.
Like that. And especially because the folks you have attending shows now are people who are probably a little bit closer to my age, right? Maybe in their 20s and 30s, they're digital natives. They've grown up on social media and they are not going to receive like your standard sales pitch very well. Mm-hmm. So how do you shape your communication, obviously on the exhibit floor, but what are some like just different creative ways that you can approach networking? And one of the ways that we found to do that is to just get really involved in the organization itself. A lot of these organizations are going to have committees and volunteer opportunities and education opportunities that you can be a part of that will help just build those relationships. So let me give an example. We attend a facility maintenance trade show related to restaurants. And every year, this trade show provides an opportunity to be a part of a leadership class. There's maybe between 20 and 30 slots, but Rhiannon, both you and I have participated in this. Multiple members of our team have done this. And it's just a great learning experience for one thing. Like I loved being a part of it. The people who are on my team within that class, I'm looking forward to seeing them at that trade show this year. And we've just built this amazing little team, this amazing little network. So stuff like that, that serves the dual purpose of education and connection and networking, right? We've had people on our team who have been involved in young professionals committees. Rhiannon, you and I, and the other girl on our team, Anna, we're all involved in the females in facilities group as a part of this organization. So what are the ways that you can get involved at those types of levels? Making connections with the staff at trade shows is a great way to do that. And maybe you'll be invited to be a part of it, or just asking like, hey, I really want to get involved. What are some opportunities that I can look into that will just expand the network? Can you be a presenter at a trade show? Like, how do you do that? And the really key thing about these committees and opportunities is that they are a blend of both vendors and clients, right?
And so veterans and new people.
Exactly. Yes. So you're just getting this really awesome blend of people of all sorts of different backgrounds, different roles, different levels of experience, and you can learn a ton from them. And who knows, like maybe it will lead to business down the road, but even if it doesn't, just having that network of support is critical to professional success, the success of your company, all these different pieces. It's just really important to keep in mind.
So like you said, the booth has its needs. You know, the booth is there. The booth time is important. I think the booth time is where it's the easiest to talk business, you know, because you will have clients that will come up to you and ask you specific questions about your business. And that's kind of that time that it's easy. They'll ask specific questions, things along those lines. But there are so many other times that you network. Obviously, the committees, volunteer opportunities. The staff of these shows work tirelessly, usually for a year or more, to put these shows on. Lean on them. Ask them, how can I get involved? again, when you're getting to know other vendors, ask them, what do you do to get involved? How do I potentially put in to be on a committee? And I'm telling you, in the beginning, at least for me, I don't know if that's for everybody, but like when you see the speakers at the education sessions or the speakers at, you know, up on the stage or so many different things, it seems intimidating. Or, you know, the people that are on the board, you know, yeah. It seems very intimidating and they, you know, they've been there for 20 years or they know exactly what they're doing. And honestly, like, it's much easier and to take that in baby steps, you know, again, try a committee, try a volunteer, yeah. You know, organization first. There's so many other ways. And then you'll build yourself up to where, you know, that person that's on the board that you thought like, no way I could even get to that yeah. point. Yeah. You know that person by name very easily. Or, hey, I just talked to that person yesterday. And it's great. Right. And again, that's why I say the consistency of these shows are so important. Yeah. But outside of that, take advantage of all that the show has to offer for the shows yeah. that we go to. Obviously, there's opening parties. There's networking yeah. events. We do females in facilities events. There's all different events for, you know, there's young professionals events. So make sure that you're going to those. You know, don't just do the booth time. Make sure that you are expanding. Or, you know, if I'm not at an event, I am usually found at the bar because that's where everybody congregates. Yep. It is not because, hey, I'm going to be there to get sloshed. It's because right. that's where everybody is. We're there to talk. Right. We're there to engage. Go to the restaurants that are in the hotel that you're at. You know, most people will be there. And a lot of these events are from morning to late in the evening because, again, you have 3, 4, 5 days, and that's your time block to talk to people. The other thing is the more people that you know, as you get to know these, you'll be invited to different types of parties, which might be mm-hmm. offsite. Mm-hmm. So again, that vendor opportunity in talking to people allows you to potentially get invitations to parties outside where you can continue to network, or in the past. And what I highly suggest is partnering with other vendors to have your own offsite party. We've done that yep. numerous times. It's been very successful. We enjoy it. It's a great yep. time. We've had many clients say, hey, that was fantastic. So doing that right. is something that I absolutely, again, you got to plan that way in advance. Usually it starts at the show before, planning for a year, depending on where you're going. But so there's those opportunities as well. And it's really helpful. The other thing that's kind of off topic for networking is just actually being at the show and just kind of my tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it can be overwhelming. It can be draining. It is draining yeah. kind of both physically and mentally. I mean, you're around people. I kind of say you got to have your A game on 24 yeah. hours a day almost because you have really to have your face on all the time. You have to be ready to engage in a conversation all the time.
Right.
For some people, that is very, very draining or very tiring. So yeah. knowing that ahead of time and being prepared for that, if you do get an hour break, go take that, kind of relax, get away from the chaos.
Right.
Be able to take that if you can. Making sure that you stay hydrated throughout the show,
yes.
that you are eating. Because again, it is so busy. Sometimes we have, you know, lunch or dinners during, say, booth time. And right. a lot of times, like, we're busy or we don't have time to sit and actually sit down and eat. So after that booth time is over, make sure, even if it's small or something to keep you going throughout the day, that you keep that energy up, make sure that you are eating. Cause sometimes you just get so busy, it kind of stays by the wayside. For me personally, females, a lot of times males, this doesn't necessarily apply, but females, I can't even tell you how many shoes I bring to the show because I have multiple shoes throughout the day that I can change into. Because like Tori right. said before, you are on your feet for 12 plus hours a day sometimes.
Right.
And it is a lot. So having different shoes for different events, having different shoes that are very comfortable, yes, we all want to make sure that we're stylish, but having those shoes that are definitely okay, that your feet aren't going to be yelling at you later on, is worth it. Sometimes we learn that the hard way. But yes, you are on your feet.
Learn that the hard way. Yes.
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 And same, you know, as you go, look up beforehand. I'm an overpacker myself, but look up beforehand what the events, a lot of times they'll have dress code. Right. You know, in some events, obviously the booth time is usually more formal or more dressed up, more business. But then on some of these other events, it's more casual. I mean, you have, when we're in Dallas, a lot of people are wearing cowboy boots and jeans or dresses. So it kind of also depends on, you know, there's a theme or something along those lines. So make sure you have all that kind of stuff. If you can be a little bit more casual, a little bit more comfortable, usually that helps with your networking. Just if you're comfortable, you're feel, you know, 100%. it just does. It's just how that works. So it's just more relaxed atmosphere. So think about that throughout the time that you're there.
And honestly, like if I was going to give just like a super straightforward tip as far as clothes go, I would say everyone should just pack a pair of like cute white tennis shoes. You should just have that because those cross really well from your business, sort of your business looks or your business casual to, you can throw them on with jeans. Mm-hmm. And so then if you're a person, you're like, I don't want to pack a lot or I don't have a lot of space, right? Having a pair of shoes like that is just, I think, ideal. So just bring a pair of white tennis shoes.
And I think that can go both men and women. I mean, to be 100%. Yeah. I mean, because men have their dress shoes, but a comfortable pair of tennis shoes that can kind of go with everything. You remind me, I need to buy some new ones before the show. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, thank you for that. But the other thing while you're there, while you're, again, me, I don't have the best memory in the world. I know that about myself. So while I'm at the booth, I always make sure that I have, of course, notes. So when somebody, if somebody gives you a business card, I will write on the business card. A lot of these places have a way that you can connect, whether it, we used to have badges, you know, we have badges that you click a button and kind of get people's information down.
Right.
But I also, and this will help with topic three, I also make sure that I jot something down specifically that we talked about, what they're looking for, or even if I need to remember their face. Or what they were wearing a little bit. That's just me. It kind of, it's that picture that jogs my memory. Oh yes. I talked to Sue about A, B, and C. I remember this. So it just, that's just somebody that's not personally great at remembering things right off the bat, have a notebook with you at all times, both for the education sessions and the booth time, just having it there so you can jot it down.
Yeah, absolutely. Something new that we're doing this year is, utilizing a client book. So especially for things like, right, we know that we have 7 clients who are going to be here. We know that we need to check in with them. So let's have just that list of who those people are, the names of the contacts, right? Because it's possible that on your team, you're going to have folks there who maybe won't have ever had face-to-face time with the client before. So just really making sure that everyone is on the same page and then using something like a client book to just check in, making sure that you're touching base with all those different people and just checking those boxes. And then the last tip that I would give just for being at the show is that sometimes you might be having stood in the exhibit booth for a couple of hours, like maybe you just need to take a break, take a lap around the exhibit floor. And it's always really interesting to see kind of what other people are doing. And are there any ideas that you can steal from other people? That, you know, no idea under the sun is unique, frankly. So you don't need to feel bad about it. But it's just fun to take a walk, see what other people are doing. You probably will run into people that you know. And it just gives you like a little bit of a brain break and kind of breaks up that long exhibit time.
Absolutely. Sure. And just to kind of reiterate what Tori said just a minute ago with the client book, this is something we're doing new this year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really great because like I said, we do have different departments and this could go for anybody really, any, you know, cause a lot of times you have different salespeople. Not all the time do you know necessarily whose client. We work with a lot of facility maintenance companies that have a lot of different brands. So Tori doesn't necessarily know that who I always work with on my side. So just kind of giving that heads up and having that almost like that book or that paper right there to kind of research on, okay, which clients are we really working with right now? Which ones actually attend this show? Who will we see? So that if for some reason I'm not at the booth and that client happens to walk by, Tori or Anna or anybody in the booth, they recognize kind of right away, hey, I know we work with them, and they can have a topic of conversation or just even to say thank you. And that's the last thing I want to say is trade shows, a lot of times, you know, you're looking, they're just known for, you're looking new for new prospects, new people right. that you want to work with, new business. But don't forget that you will see your current clients there most likely.
Yep.
And it is a time that everybody is so busy throughout the year. Just a reminder to, yeah, it's a thank you, whether you do take them out for dinner or meet them for lunch or even just coffee in the morning. Make sure that all of your clients that are there, it's that extra time to say thank you. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for partnering with us. We appreciate you. And don't forget about the people that are already helping you, for sure. And then last but not least, as you're in the booth, as you're in the different networking events, just have fun. Enjoy your time there. Don't forget that, yes, you're here for work. Yes, you're there for business. But again, the more relaxed and comfortable that you are, the more that expresses, I guess, through your body language, you know, have a smile on your face. I love going to trade shows. I am a people person. I do like to talk, as Tori and I talked about that. So it is fun for me, but it's just sometimes take the work out of it a little bit and just enjoy your time. Enjoy what you're doing. It is that time where, you know, us as adults get to go and have a few days where we are focused on what we do. And sometimes, and most of the time, what we do best. So, and you just get to soak up all the knowledge from those that are around you. And you walk away and you feel like it's almost that refreshing, even if you're exhausted, you walk away with that new like outlook. Oh, I'm excited for the new year. I'm excited for who the people I get to talk to after this. I'm excited for the new potential. So just remember that going into it. Have fun. If it is your first trade show, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged and try again and pace yourself. Definitely.
Yes. And hydrate. Yourself. Please hydrate
and pace yourself. Yes.
All right, Ree, let's dive a little bit into post-show follow-up. This is obviously like, it's not enough to just go to the show. You have to check in with those people afterward.
Really?
Right? I know it's crazy. It's crazy, but we should talk about it. So Ree, this is where a lot of your energy is focused. So let's start with kind of what is a good timeline look up for a follow-up? Should you follow up the day after you get home?
Okay. So here's where it's, again, controversial. Some people will start messaging when they're at the show. They will have that conversation and they will literally send an email or whatever type of form of communication that they need or want there. I do think that there is a time and a place for that. If there is something very specific that you and a client discussed, or they are looking for something from you, fairly soon, you know, in regards to, they need some type of information or a document, a piece of information from you that they want to pass on to somebody like back at home or back on their team that they need to get to. So I think there is a time and the place for that. Is it something I do? Not necessarily. Do I follow up the day I get back? Not necessarily either. And again, some people say that that's wrong, that you should follow up the day that you get back. But here's what I'm saying is that clients that are there, that are at the show, and that just not goes for clients that are at the show. Again, I work with facility on the facility field. So we deal with restaurants or retail, all sorts of different. They're away from their computer, their desk for 4 or 5 days, and they are bombarded when they get home. So not only from all that work that they potentially had to push on somebody else, or that all the emails that they missed, a lot of times people do bring their computers. They are checking while they're there. Of course, you know, as you know, especially I work in the facilities world, there are emergencies. We handle emergencies while we're at trade shows. It does happen. Thankfully, I have a great team back home that does a great job for while I'm away. But so they are bombarded when they get back and they have a lot of catch up. So just think about yourself as, what would you want if you came home, you know, came into work on a Monday morning and you had 200 extra emails, 300 extra emails, you have, you know, 10 fires to put out. And then you have on top of that, 50 emails from people that want to work with you. a lot of times I feel like that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. So usually what I do personally is I usually wait about a week, or, you know, 4 to 5 days, you know, minimally, to give them that time to kind of catch up. And when you do reach out to them, A, do not typically, unless you're sending out like a message from, again, your marketing team, or it was great meeting you, things along those lines. We're talking about your prospects that you think, hey, these have a high potential, to potential. Those require personal messages. Those require reminding them what you discussed. You know, potentially it is putting their name in there, making sure that, you know, hey, Rob, you and I talked about awnings at the conference. I know that your stores in the north and the south, or the south, were, you're in need of new awnings. Here's what we talked about. Here's what I can do for you. Let's set up a time to go ahead and discuss that. So give them a little bit of breathing room. Don't bombard them. And then when you do contact them, make sure it's personal, because again, they have so many people. They're bombarded at the conference. They're bombarded before the conference. They're bombarded after the conference. So how can you set yourself apart from those that are also contacting them at the same time? And I guess that's an easy way to say, you know, I feel like everybody says, well, just make it personal and make it, but it's hard. It's a good time at the, you know, if you have, again, vendor partners that say, hey, so-and-so referred me, they already work with a different vendor, and making sure that you put that kind of information in there. We talked about this, so-and-so referred me, and I really like to set up a meeting. Also at the same time, again, this is me, and it could be controversial. I don't pressure. Could be, hey, right now you may not need, we talked about it, but you may not need anything right this very second. And make sure that, you know, I'd love to connect with you. And if you do need something in the future, we'll follow up. And those are a little bit more of your, you know, middle leads, where they're not, you know, hot, you know exactly what they needed. Those are the more of those that don't pressure anybody. We all hate the spam emails of, you know, they're saying the exact same thing over and over and over and over again. And if we as vendors are getting them, the clients in the retail and the restaurant, they are getting 3 times as much as that. So, you know, don't spam people. Again, I personally am old school. And is it really bad to send, if you have an address, a lot of times people work from home or anything along those lines, a thank you in the good old snail mail, to where they have something physical. We've done that in the past, where we have done, it was just great to see you. It was great to meet you. We've in the past sent a piece of South Bend chocolate. Just a reminder, we're located in South Bend, Indiana. And we do A, B, and C. And if you need anything, please let me know. And then you can follow up a week after that, or a week after, you know, that was got there to them, and ask them how it was, you know, did you enjoy that? Hope you did, things along those lines. Right. The other thing that we've done for follow-up, and this is something a lot of companies do differently, but where you have at the show, you'll have some type of competition, where people will put business cards in to win something. So that's also a very easy way to follow up with people and saying, you have a top prize, or, you know, however you want to do it. We've done all different types of prizes. One year we even did basically win a certain dollar amount for your favorite charity. So then you have to follow up, and it's asking what's their favorite charity, why. It's kind of just creating, again, that personal aspect of things and making sure that, you know, you're looking at something that's important to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really hard to set yourself apart.
Amongst the literal like hundreds and hundreds of vendors that are going to be there. It is
correct.
Really challenging. But I think you're getting at a really good point, which is that you have to remember who the audience is that you're speaking to, right? You're going to have some folks there who've been doing this their entire career. They've been in the industry for 40 years, and they know who they know, and they do what they do, and it works for them. And then again, you're going to encounter some younger folks who, you know, are closer to my age or your age, Rhiannon, like that just are looking for authentic connections and yes. just a unique and just a unique way of connecting. And I think like your point about the snail mail, who does not love receiving a handwritten note in the mail? Okay. Who doesn't love that? You can be 5 years old or 55 years old or 105 years old, and you will love it every single time. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, that, you know, 20 years ago may have been standard that now is not, it will really stand out to yep. the, you know, in compared to the like hundreds of thousands of other messages that these folks are receiving.
If you can't do snail mail, because sure. a lot of people are remote now and they don't want to give right. away their home address, things along those lines.
100%.
There are a lot of companies and we work with a lot of them, but you can send something through their email. So where they would click on that email and be able to pick their gift. Sugar Wish, for example, is one that we use, where if you just want to send an extra, it was really great meeting you. It was really great seeing you. There's all different sends types that you can send. You can even send coffees, you know, anything yeah. along those lines, but you can do it through email. So people feel a little bit more comfortable. Of yeah. course, they don't want to share their actual address or we don't have that. Yep. A lot of times trade shows don't put that out. So I just wanted to throw that out there while you were talking yep. about it.
Yep. No, that's absolutely a great point. Right. What can you be doing that's just different enough? Hopefully that doesn't require like a tremendous amount of effort on your end, but like take 5 minutes, write a card, or do what Randon's talking about and send that specialized email. That's just gonna set you apart just enough. All that stuff is really, really important. And, you know, after the trade show, right, you're following up with any leads, prospects, whatever. But it's also just really important to evaluate, how did we do as a team? How did that go? Mm-hmm. Set aside some time with your team to just really talk through what was successful, what wasn't successful, what are the different opportunities, making sure that we're collecting in one place all of the different leads and prospects that we've gathered together. And just also keeping in mind, you know, you probably aren't going to make the most amazing connections, all of the most amazing connections, your first time at a trade show.
No.
So these things are definitely a labor of love. We've been doing them for years. Mm-hmm. So it just takes time. But if you do it right and you do it right from the very beginning, it's going to have some pretty significant payoffs. So absolutely. If it's your first time attending, just really start looking for those opportunities that the organization has. They'll probably share some of it online, just different places that you can get involved, committees, task forces, education opportunities, those different places where you can just start making those connections, and, you know, checking off all those different boxes, check, double check, triple check, to make sure that your experience is as cohesive and successful as possible. Yep. And just give it some time. Be patient.
Like Tori said, debrief. Each year we change things up. So that debrief of what went well, what do we want to change, is so critical and so important. Yeah. To see where we've come from my first year at a trade show to where we are now, mm-hmm. it's just night and day different. And also, again, with that team and having people recognize who we are now, it's a good feeling. So what I would also suggest is, you know, a lot of people, and again, this works for some companies. It depends on what your, I guess, approach is to, mm-hmm. to trade shows. But for us, we pick, for my industry specific, on my end for the facilities, I pick a couple that are really specific to my industry, again, and I put everything I have into it. I dive in, yeah. I'm in the committees, I'm involved, versus going to 10 that I'm kind of give my, you know, a little bit to, or I show up just once a year that I really don't know a whole lot of people. So that would be my suggestion, is pick, whether it be depending on what your schedule is, how much you can be away, pick those ones that are most important that you really want to dive into, that you really want to be engaged, because it makes a huge difference on that engagement level of just where you're at in the industry, how you're recognized, what you're known for. It's just, to me personally, a huge difference. And then as you go along, like today or this year, I'm actually attending a different show that I don't normally attend, just to kind of check it out and see if it's something that we would want to do, you know, in the future. But I am definitely still going to my, I would say, ride or dies. I'm going to those trade shows that I, you know, I'm going to be there every single year. You see those people and immediately it's like, it's almost like a family that you've just been away from, because you walk in, you're like, oh my gosh, how are you? How is everything? Yeah. And it's so comforting and it's so great. And it's such a good feeling. And it's that feeling of, camaraderie and just everybody is there for that reason. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants to enjoy it. So it's just a great, great all time of feeling. So that would be my suggestion for everything is, you know, you didn't put a ton of money into this trade show to let it go at the end. Post show is very, very important in making sure that you are finding your niche of what works for you. And just like the show itself, sometimes it's going to be trial and error. And to not, and to just make sure that you are realizing that sometimes that connection doesn't pay off right away. So one last thing I was going to say is, for a lot of times it's making sure you're connecting on LinkedIn. So, or offering, hey, we might not be able to help right now, but, or I know that you have other people that you're working with, but if you need something in a pinch or you have an extra big project that you just need help, sometimes, you know, just offering that help or even that guidance, know, it, you know, I'm there just as a, you know, mentor in regards to, if you need, have a question, be that person that is available and that is there for them. And again, it kind of all starts with that trust level and where you go. And sometimes down the line, it's just going to be how memorable were you? And that, hey, I remember Tori was really genuine. You know, we talked about dance, you know, Tori's a dancer. We talked about something personal and she just remembers, or he or she just remembers Tori's genuine outlook and just really remember them. And so a year down the road when they need something, hey, I do remember Tori did something with signs. Maybe I can ask her and she can set me in the right direction. Exactly. So just stay positive and realize that your work, your hard work does pay off. Well, that was fun, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the Innovation Room podcast. Of course, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe as always. I had a really fun time today, and I hope anybody that's listening, please, you know, come up and see me at Connects or RIFMA, which is the trade shows that we will be at in the next 2 months, March and April. So I'd love to hear from you and see what you thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Or drop us a comment below. Let us know, like, what trade shows are you guys attending? Are there any tips, tricks, best practices that you have that you're like, this is what works great for our company, or this is a type of swag that really stands out? Just tell us what you think and what you do and what works great for you. And we will see you guys next time.